My folks are going to think I don't know nothing else. I preached from Hebrews 13 for a week. But this is a different verse. Hebrews 13 and verse number 8. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I'll read again real quick. It says, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. John the Revelator said in chapter 1 of Revelation in verse 4, when he said, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace. And then he said, and from him which is, which was, and which is to come. The Bible also says many things about his preexistence and him being from everlasting to everlasting.
Certainly.
And the Bible said he is, let me read again in Revelation, he is him that which is, which was, and which is to come. And that's what I want to preach to you a little bit about tonight. Jesus Christ the same. He is just the same. How many's been saved here for, let's say, 10 years or longer? You've been saved that long. Jesus hadn't changed one bit. Not a bit. I was thinking about my own life just a little while ago or earlier today. And I've been saved now for February. If I live to February, it'd be 32 years. Or if you want to look back since only a couple months ago, February passed 31 years. This August, the first or second day of August, I will have been preaching 28 years. And God's been good to me all down through the years. And I found out that He is just the same. Amen. I know tonight, if some of us will look around, and we'll look around through the church maybe. And I even asked one of the brothers. And that young girl got up to sing. I said, now what's her name? And he told me. The other girl got up to sing. I said, what's her name? And I was looking around. And some folks here I know you by looking at you. I know you by name. Others I don't know. And some of you may be recently saved. Some of you just growed up and I didn't remember because you was growing up. And we'll look around sometime in our churches and we'll think back about how it was or how it used to be. We'll start thinking about some of the services we used to have. And if we're not careful, we'll blame it on either the pastor or we'll blame it on the times that we're living in. But one thing you can't blame a bad service on, and that's Jesus, because He is just the same. Help me preach tonight, will you? Amen. When I took the church that I'm pastoring right now, Brother Wayne can remember real well. I've been there now, hard to believe, Brother Wayne, but 17 years. This week I start into my 18th year as pastor at Springdale Road. I can remember the first one, two, maybe even 5 years that I was there. And constant comparison, if you know what I mean. That's not how the other pastor used to do it. And boy, we used to have good services then. Or the Holy Ghost used to move then. Or we used to shout a lot more then. And I heard that a whole lot. And finally, I just started saying, well, what's the problem then? Do you think it's me? It's certainly not the Lord. Amen. Brother, if you don't feel the presence of God tonight like you did the day you got saved, then it's you, because Jesus Christ is just the same today as He was from the beginning. Praise God. Oh, I remember when I first got saved. I'll preach in a minute if God will help me here. I remember when I first got saved. I was just a young man, and I was 14 years old when I got saved. Just a young boy. Gave my heart to God. We had a little old tiny church. Wouldn't seat but maybe 50 or 60 or a few more than that. Ran 20, 30 people. Thought we had a packed house when 40 or 50 would come. I remember going into that church. And my mother was always on fire for God. We go into that little church, and a lot of the times when the door would open, my mom would walk in. She didn't go in and sit down, wait for the first song. I've seen her shout her way up to the seat and sit down. And the Spirit of the Lord shake her body. And when the first song sung, she was on her feet praising God. That was the norm back then. That wasn't the exception. It was the rule. Amen. The power of God would move in those services. Amen. I believe God is just the same today. Amen. We're just living too much in the past of thinking how everything used to be. Praise God. Oh, yeah. I'll tell you about our church. Our church that I pastor now. Of course, it was before I was even born, but I can remember them talking about how our church got started. They started a revival that lasted 7 years. They had church every night for 7 years. It was on Liberty Street then. And that my mother said that wasn't even her home church till I became pastor. But anyway, she said she used to go there some and visit during that revival. She said, boy, they wore one evangelist out right after another. Just whoever, boy, evangelists really loved that church. Because they just wear them out. Just come on, preach as long as you want to. They'd preach them 2 or 3 months till they had no voice left, no strength left, no sermons left. And then whoever else had come in, they didn't care if they had 2 or 3 preachers a night. They didn't care who preached or if nobody preached. But I heard them talk about it, Brother Wayne, about how folks got saved every night. Amen. Almost every night somebody got saved. Had baptisms every couple of weeks. The Holy Ghost moving in that church. Amen. Now it's hard to get them to come 7 nights in a row, let alone 7 weeks or 7 years. My, haven't things changed? I must admit myself, we just got out of camp meeting. I give it all I got. I threw every ounce I had into it, and that's a lot of ounces, I know. But Sunday night, last night, I looked over at Brother Claude Witt. I said, Claude, I don't know if I can preach or not. I ain't never been so tired in my life. He said, I hope you preach good. Said, I'm too tired to amen you. Amen. Oh, we was tired. I'd walk up and shake hands with somebody, and I'd say, how you doing? I'm wore to a frazzle, brother. I'm just worn out. All we had was 1 week of camp meeting and 1 day service, and from the pastor on down, we was tired. Amen. We was just worn out. Oh, but I long for the days, amen, where the Holy Ghost sweeps through our congregations and refreshes and renews us, and we can't wait to get back in the house of God. I told you a minute ago, I've only been not a pastor for 4 weeks. And I'll tell you exactly what happened. I resigned my first church in Lebanon, Ohio on a Sunday night. And Brother Irvin Steele called me on the phone. He wouldn't ask anybody to come preach some revival. He wanted you to ask. And he called me on the phone. And I love Brother Steele. He's a great man of God. Those of you that knew him knew that. Brother Steele called me and said, hey, he said, you ain't been wanting to come over and preach this revival, have you? Well, I thought I'd have some fun with him, Brother Heath. I knew what he was wanting to, he's wanting me to ask him. I said, well, I don't know if you've been wanting me to come. Well, if you want to come. Have you been feeling led? I said, have you been? He feeling led? He said, well, have you been feeling? And I just kind of went back and forth with him like that for a few minutes till I seen I was bothering him. And I said, yeah, I'd like to come. When you want me to start? Tomorrow night? I said, okay. I resigned on a Sunday, started revival on a Monday. We went 4 weeks. Brother Cecil Wilson, Brother David Lowry, at the end of that 4th week came and said, will you come be our pastor? And that's exactly how it happened. But in that 4-week revival that we had, I believe I missed God. I'm not going to lie to you. I believe I did. Because I probably should have went on. With that revival, I didn't want to wear the folks out. We had such a move of God. There was a lady there that got up the first night. She said, I'm not going to eat a bite. I'm not going to drink a drop until God saves my husband. And the second night, she got up and said, I'm still not going to eat or drink till God saves my husband. That went on 8 or 10 nights, Brother Dennis. And finally, one night I was up preaching, and I thought I'd said something stupid, and everybody was leaving. Because about half the congregation got up and started toward the door. I thought, Lord, have mercy, what have I done? And I looked, and about two-thirds of the way back, her husband had been out, I think he was fishing, I think's what it was, or hunting or something. And he got a conviction so bad he just left the woods or the lake, whatever it was, came right into the church, and he couldn't make it down the aisle. He fell about a third of the way into the church. They seen him and ran back, started praying for him. Revival broke loose. They had a boy that was in prison that got out about 3 days later, and he got saved. Then they called their family, and they got saved. Then revival caught fire, and others started coming. At the end of the fourth week, we had over 100 saved. We baptized 56 the third week of that revival. 56. You couldn't get a seat not one night in that revival. I can remember, Brother Collins may have forgotten, I remember the youth pastor at this church. You know who it was? Joey Height. Joey Height was your youth pastor, and Brother Collins and Brother Height came to that revival one night. I remember what Brother Joey said to me. He said, "What in the world have you been preaching on?" I said, "Not much of nothing, tell you the truth about it." I said, "You can throw your Bible up there on the Bible desk," and they're shouting. "Y'all have to preach." All somebody had to do, Stamp says, "Time to start church." I mean, seriously. A couple of nights they said, "Let's get service started." And somebody run down the aisle crying and screaming, "My Lord, I can't stand it. I got to be saved." There wasn't a lot of preaching went on, really, in that revival. Mainly just singing and crying and shouting and praying. Oh, what a move of God we had. That end of the fourth week, Brother Steele said, "Son, I'm afraid you're going to miss it." I said, "We're killing them, Brother Steele. They're worn out." Amen. Oh, if I had to over again, I probably would have went on. I was a lot younger then. Amen. I've had several times those older members has come to my church to visit, and they'd say, "Oh, we ain't never had a revival like that since. I wish that you come back." I didn't bring that one. It was just those folks got a mind to work and a mind to pray, and it wouldn't have mattered who the evangelist was. God was moving in that church. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. It don't matter really who the preacher is. If we'll get in the right spirit, amen, and get a hold of God and pray and fast, and the Holy Ghost comes in and sweeps through our church, we can see those same kind of revival. Somebody praise Him tonight. That was a mighty move. Amen. But it was God that done the moving. You know, we stand up constantly, and I'm not preaching against anybody that does this. I do it myself. We're constantly talking about how God delivered Daniel out of the lion's den. Well, I preached it just a couple weeks ago. As a matter of fact, no, I don't think I preached. I think it was in our Sunday school lesson where the Bible said, "My God has sent His angel. Shut the lion's mouth." Amen. Praise God. We talk about those Hebrew boys being in a fire, no fire, burning them up. No smell of smoke on them, and what a great story it was. We stand and preach countless times how God brought those children of Israel through the Red Sea. And we tell it like Mother Goose rhymes. We tell it like stories that was ancient history that could never take place again. I know it happened a long time ago, but the same God that done those things in those days is our God tonight. Woo, hallelujah. In 1998, He's the same God, amen, that rolled back the waters. I'm serving that God. The same God that told that lion, "Don't you touch Daniel." That's my God, amen. The same God that quenched the violence of fire, amen. That's my God, hallelujah. Oh yes, He's the same yesterday and today and forever, hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's just the same. Amen. Oh yes. I've told this story countless and countless of times. My wife's sitting back there right now. Amen. I've told it here. I'm not going to tell the whole story. I'm just going to brief you on a little bit. Y'all have heard me tell about how God healed her of cancer. And a lot of you can't even remember the time when it happened. It was parts of 1972 and on into 1973. It was about the 5th or the 15th of January. I forget. Either the 5th or 15th of January when the Lord healed her. Man, my wife had terminal cancer. They gave her 3 weeks to live, She had two large tumors behind her breastbone. She had tumors, cancerous tumors under her arm. They had already took all of her thyroid out, and she's got a scar now more than halfway around her neck, and then from her ear right here all the way down to the collarbone. She laid there in the bed for several days, couldn't eat or drink. All the great men, if I start telling you all the men come prayed for, is amazing. Vince Wilson, he came and prayed for my wife. Chester Shell, these men are all dead and gone. He came and prayed several times for my wife. Brother Claude Ely, he not only prayed for her, one night he said, "You're going home and sleep. I'll stay all night with her tonight." And I said, "No, Brother Ely, I can't ask that of you." He said, "Get on out of here. Just get on out of here." Stayed all night and prayed with her. 22 preachers, I counted. I can't remember them all. But I remember those men that's already gone on. 22 preachers came and prayed with us. Amen. And I remember very well that night laying on my bed at my mother's house about 2 o'clock in the morning when I prayed. And I said, "Oh God," and I started reminding him. You know what? Friend, I started thinking back about what God had done for some of those old patriarchs. I said, "God, I remember what you've done for Hezekiah." He's the one I remembered. I said, "You sent the prophet to his house and told him to set his house in order because he was going to die and not live." And he prayed and he said, "God, if I have walked in your right in your sight and lived good and done the right thing," you know the scriptures, how it quotes, he said, "If I've done that, if I've pleased you, spare my life." And I said, "Lord, don't you remember how you spoke to Isaiah the prophet and said, go back and tell him that I've spared his life and added 15 years? I said, "God, I know that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know, Lord, that you're no respecter of person. I know you can do that for my wife. And if you do, I'll tell it everywhere I go." What I felt was I just felt, it wasn't like I maybe felt tonight a few minutes ago. It felt exactly like I had just a breeze came by. You know, me and my wife, we've been in third heaven the last 2 or 3 weeks. We've lived in our house for 20 years, and we always had windows in it, but they wasn't no good from the time we built the house. We never did have a screen in our window for 20 years, so you couldn't raise it up unless you wanted mosquitoes and bugs and flies. So we didn't open the windows too much. We just been going around every morning, open the windows up, close them and open them and close. We just loving it. Amen. I just love feeling that cool air come in. I feel like it's a miracle happened to us. Praise God. Anyway, you know how that feels when you open the window, especially this time of year when it's cool and the wind blows. That's what it felt like. And I said, "Lord, if this is you, let me feel that again." And I felt that breeze sweep by. Man, the windows was all closed. I got up and checked them. The doors was closed. The closet was closed. I knew it had to be God. I felt that breeze from heaven one more time. I just got up and said, "That's it. That's enough for me. I believe that's God." Amen. You know, I didn't know then what I know now. Then I thought it was God. I didn't know what I was feeling. But now I know what it was. See, the Bible said, "Behold, he holdeth the wind in his fist." I think what happened was I was saying, "God, will you?" And God was saying, "Yes." And I'd say, "God, please." And he said, "Yes." Every time he opened his hand and pointed toward me, I felt a little of that wind come out of his fist and breathe over top of me. I got up that morning, went to the hospital. When I got there, the doctor was standing there. He said, "I've never seen nothing like it." He said, "I watched that pathology report change right before my eyes. Here's the x-rays of the tumors. Here's the one I took a couple hours ago. I can't find nothing." Well, you say, "Yeah, Brother Miller, but that was 1973. God's the same in 1998 as he was in 1973. God still heals cancers. God still performs miracles. God still heals broken lives and broken homes." Can you say amen? Woo, hallelujah. I'll tell you, I want to hear Brother Gary real bad, but I'm feeling good now. Amen. God is just the same. God's still doing things. I know you tape these. I guess it's okay. Anyway, you don't have to stop it, but Even in our church, I'm just telling this for the glory of the Lord. In our church, I had a situation I've been really troubled about, worried sick about. I don't know if God's, I don't know if everything's exactly 100% like it needs to be or is going to be. But I'll tell you, you think sometimes that the devil can't take advantage of good people. But the devil sometimes can take advantage of real good people. And I seen the devil come by one of the good, best young couples in our church. Help me just a minute, folks. Praise God. And just really fought them hard. I mean, it got bad. So bad that they were just about ready to get a divorce. Three little children involved. Amen. Hey, hurt a little bit worse because one of them was my niece. Hurt a little worse because of that. I talked, I prayed, I fasted. My wife just about killed her. She knew about it a couple months before I did, and I kind of got mad at her because she didn't tell me. Have you ever done that to him, find out something, never not tell him? I kind of got a little vexed, brother, because she didn't tell me. I said, how long have you known that? She said, they told me not to tell. I said, next time, tell me anyway. She didn't tell me, but she'd been crying and praying, and I was asking her, what's wrong with you? Nothing, not a thing. Nothing. She'd crying and worrying. I watched that. I talked to both of these two, and I'm not trying to sound bad. I got a lot of my folks here tonight. But I feel like telling this for some reason or another. Anyway, I talked to both of them. Both of them. You know what I think it was? I think it's the devil on both of them. I think it's just the enemy. Man, it's getting awful quiet in here. If you keep getting quiet like this, I'll haul off and preach on this an hour. Amen. You know what? It's just nothing but the devil. Just nothing but the devil. And I'd talk to this one, and they'd say, don't look like it can work. I talked to that one, don't look like it can work. Well, what about this? What about that? Couldn't do anything. I didn't think there's any hope. Really. I was getting pretty discouraged. Boy, old Brother Rich got to preaching the other night, and he got preaching on praising the Lord. And I thought, oh my God, here it is the last night, and they're here, and he ain't even preaching on sin. He needs to be preaching on sin. He needs to be preaching something about sin. He preaching on praising God. I got done preaching on praising God. Here they come run down now. Prayed about an hour. Had church about 11:30. I seen one, my niece today. So how's things doing? Boy, it's doing better than it's ever been. Doing better than it's ever been. Hey, brother, somebody, sometimes you look around and say, yeah, but I know God's done it for others, but it ain't going to happen to me. As long as you doubt, it's not going to happen to you. But if you'll trust and believe God, God's able to mend broken hearts, and God's able to mend broken homes. Somebody say amen. Amen. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Somebody say amen. Amen. Boy, if we get a lot of broken homes and broken hearts and broken minds put back together, we'd have a revival around here. Woo, hallelujah. Yes, sir. God done it then, but he can't now. Why can't he now? He's the same. You can't limit God. You can't put a limitation on God. He can do the same. A lot of folks, we want to talk about these revivals. Now, I'm going to say this here in front of my people. We had a revival about, I think, 3 years ago. I think that's what it was. We had probably the best revival probably we've ever had since I've been pastor. Probably was. The Lord had dealt with me about 2 years to get Brother Cody Harmon to come. And I just hadn't worked out. I told my wife right before I was in town, I said, Brother Harmon's here, I'm going to ask him to come. I didn't know God had been dealing with Brother Cody. I got out of my car, the first guy I seen, Brother Harmon, I said, I need to talk to you. He said, well, I need to talk to you, though. I said, well, what do you need? He said, what do you need? I said, you first. He said, well, he said, brother, I never do ask pastors to let me come for revival. But he said, I've had you on my mind for 2 years. I've been feeling led to come to your church for 2 years. More great things happen than that. We had such a move of God that right now, sometimes our folks will get up and they'll say, back during the revival, well, we've had a half dozen since then. Which one are you talking about? Everybody knows which one they're talking about. Everybody. The revival. You know, the revival. The revival. The revival. Well, that 10. Oh, yeah, that's right. We did have some other preachers come by, didn't we? Well, I'm talking about that one. Amen. And I've had some of them say to me, boy, ain't nobody can out-preach Cody Harmon. Now, Cody, if you listen to this tape, you know I love you, and I know you're a good preacher. But Cody, he's a good preacher.
But he's like myself. There's others that can preach just as good. It wasn't Cody Harmon. And it wasn't David Miller. And it wasn't Springdale Road. What it was God got in the arrangements. It was in the will of God. And the timing was right. And the people was ready. And the first night Brother Harmon preached, he got up and said, I am looking for a great revival to take place. I believe God's going to send a mighty move of God. And everybody believed him. They believed him. He'd stand up and say, God's going to do this. And they just waited for it to happen. Brother, if we believe God tonight, we'd see the same things happening as they did then. You know why? Because it's Jesus does it. And he's the same. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. Holy Ghost fell in Acts chapter 2. The Bible said, you know how the scripture talks? About when the day of Pentecost was fully come. They was all in one place. They was together. They were praying, one accord. And all of a sudden there was a sound from heaven came, filled the whole house where they were sitting. It appeared cloven tongues like as a fire. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. And some folks say that that was just that one time. But I could take them to the 10th chapter and say it happened there. And just like it did in Acts chapter 2, you know what they'll say? Well, that's just because he finally poured it out on the Gentiles. Well, what about the 19th chapter where those that have been baptized in John's baptism receive the Holy Ghost? Brother, I'm telling you that we can see those same kind of outpourings of the Holy Ghost just like they did in Acts 2 and 4. I believe it. Amen. Your evangelist will be here tomorrow night. I hadn't met him. I had heard him a time or two, but I didn't know him. So several years ago, I wanted to have him come and preach. And I don't care if you tell him. I've told him, I think, myself. I was a little leery of him. I was. Because everybody told me, he said, don't matter where he goes, everybody gets Holy Ghost. I said, now wait just a minute now. Ain't nobody can do that. I don't care who he is. Who he is, what he is, where he's from. I don't believe that. So I was real hesitant. I remember I talked to Dave Brock. I said, Dave, you ever had him up there in Bedford? He said, yeah. I said, what is this deal with him? They say everywhere he goes, everybody gets Holy Ghost. He said, I don't know, Dave, but he said he's real as heaven. I don't know. I'm going to pray about it. Everybody I talked to you about it. He said, he's real, brother. I said, well, I know he's real, but I just don't understand it. But finally, I prayed and I called him. He said, yeah, I'll come preach for you. And I ain't going to lie to you, folks. I watched him. I put the old eagle eye right on him. He got up and got preaching one night. And there's a guy that's a church clerk and one of my board members now, full of the Holy Ghost, good man of God. Been saved for years, never did have the baptism. One night, Brother Gary got done preaching. He said, what's that guy's name? I said, which one? That one? He said, yeah. I said, that's Eddie. He said, the Lord told me he's going to give him the Holy Ghost right now. He started walking toward him. I said, hold on, let me go with you. I'm going to go with you. He called him up there. I didn't tell him I was skeptical, but I was. He said, come here, buddy. Ed walked up there, and you that know Eddie, he's a quiet guy anyway. There ain't no way you can tell him to do something. He'd do it no way. He's just real backward. Eddie got up there, and he said, do you believe the Holy Ghost is real? He said, well, sure. He said, you believe it's for you? He said, yeah, I guess it is. Do you want it? Yeah, I do. He said, now the Bible said they'll lay hands on him, and they receive the Holy Ghost. He said, you believe that? He said, yeah, brother, if it's in the Bible, I believe it. He said, I'm going to lay hands on you, and you're going to receive the Holy Ghost. I've got my ear close, buddy. I was going to hear if he was going to tell him to say something real fast, or I was going to see what he's going to do. That's all he did. He said, I'll lay hands on you. He said, if you believe it, you're going to get the Holy Ghost, okay? He said, yeah. He said, put your hands up. He put his hands up, and I'm standing right there. Listen, he said, Father, he said, fill this brother with the Holy Ghost right now. And he said, receive the Holy Ghost. Oh, Ed hits the ground, speaks in tongues for about an hour, and I'm sitting there saying, what in the world just happened? What happened? I don't understand this. Yeah. And I said, man, I said, what happened? He said, well, that's what the Bible says, ain't it? They'll lay hands on them and tell them to receive the Holy Ghost. They will. They've done it in the Bible. Oh, I said, yeah, I know they did in the Bible. Well, Jesus is same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Here I am, pastor of the Pentecost Church, been preaching 25 years, and couldn't hardly believe it. Amen. I think I told this here one time. I'll repeat it real quick. And a couple of years later, one day, there was a man in my church. He'll be here one night, probably, Howard Staniford. As good a man as I ever pastored, but very quiet. Very quiet. Never does any moving around. I've only seen him shout twice in my life. And I've been his pastor for 17 years. But one night, the Lord got dealing with me, and the Lord spoke to me right while I was preaching and said, tell Howard to come up right now, and I'll fill him with the Holy Ghost before he ever gets here. And I to myself, in between preaching, I said, I can't do that. And the Lord kept dealing with me. I've never had God do that to me before or since, Sister Collins, but I noticed God. And the Lord kept telling me, call him on up. One time I said in myself, I said, Lord, if I do that, and he don't get the Holy Ghost, and everybody hears me say he's going to get the Holy Ghost, I'm going to look like a liar. And I remember exactly what God spoke to my heart. And the Lord said, well, don't tell him that you said, tell him that I said. And I got a little faith just instantly mustered up, and before I had time to doubt, I said, Howard, stand up! Glory. He stood up, and I said, brother, I said, you know me a long time. You believe I tell you wrong? He said, no. I said, the Lord been dealing me to tell you to come up here, and he'd fill you with the Holy Ghost by the time you got up here. Well, in my mind, I don't know, I thought he'd doubt, or I'd have to keep begging like you do some folks. Oh, Howard, he just stepped out. Okay. And down he come. And then my faith left me. And I thought, uh-oh, here he comes. It's only about 50 or 60 feet. He better get fast. I'm really going to look bad tonight. And Brother Howard got almost down to about the last row. And boy, his hands kind of come together. And his head went back. And he started jumping up and down like he had a jackhammer. And I seen his chin quiver and his mouth moving. And I walked down to where he was. And he's speaking in tongues. And he spoke in tongues for probably 45 minutes and shouted all over the church. Then he stood up and he said, boy, if I'd known it'd been that easy, I'd have got it a long time ago. Well, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he saved them then, he can save them now. If he delivered them then, he can now. If he filled with the Holy Ghost then and healed their sick bodies, he is just the same tonight. Lift your hands and praise God with me. One more scripture. I'm going to try to close this. There's a scripture in Haggai chapter 2. The Bible, he's talking here to some of the priests and the residue of the people. And he asked them a question. He said, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? How do you see it now? How many of you saw this house in her first glory? How do you see it now? Amen. You know what? One of the first churches I ever preached in as a boy was a midweek service right here. A different pastor before Brother Collins ever came. Preached a service right here. Amen. That's been many moons ago. At least 25 or 26 years ago. Right here at this church. I can remember way back. I don't remember who was here. I mean, the people, I might remember one or two. But all I can remember was had a lot of shouting and bouncing going on in this church. Amen. First song I ever sung in public was the church I now am the pastor of. I was 14 years old. We went to a youth rally. And the only songs I knowed was God's Not Dead, He's Still Alive. That's all. I didn't know nothing else but them. They're still good songs. I don't mean it like that. That's the only kind I knew. And I remember they said, is there anybody from that church out in Indiana? And they asked me to sing. I'd never sung in church before. And I walked up front and stood up and give it my best shot. Who knew? Amen. I was 14. And this year I'll be 46. Who would have known that all these years later, I'm pastoring that church. Right. Amen. I remember that was on Liberty Street, and I remember how that church was built. And I remember that Friday night youth rally. That house was jam-packed. I mean, it was packed. And they were singing and they were shouting. Amen. When I first come to Springdale, you know, Brother Wayne, you know how they talk. Now, you might as well say, man, you know they did. Amen. But we just closed the best meeting we've ever had as far as camp meeting. Friday night, there was nowhere to sit. You don't think we had a good camp meeting? Just drive to our church tomorrow and go through the parking lot. Our yard is destroyed. I don't know how many we pulled out of the grass. I really don't know. They told me that they parked 60-some cars in the grass is what they told me that they parked. We had a move of God. Church lasted to 25 after 11 Friday night. Two got saved Friday night. Folks was rejoicing Friday night. And some will say, Springdale ain't what it used to be. Woo, if it gets any better, I don't know if we can stand it or not. Amen. God's a blessing us. Every way that we turn, praise God, the Lord's blessing us. Oh yeah, some of them can talk back and say, I remember when Bill Collins first came to the highway of holiness. God is the same God tonight as He was then. If we'll cry out and praise God and worship God and want and expect a blessing, we can have it. Glory to God. He's the same God. How did you see it then? He said. How do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes? Is it not in your eyes? In comparison of it is nothing. Sometimes I think we look at our services like that. We go to church thinking, I hope they hurry up and get done. I hope that they hurry up and sing. I hope they hurry up and preach. Get out of there, son. Get home. Yeah. We used to go to church. We couldn't wait to get there. We was in no hurry to get home. And we didn't care who sung or who preached. We just wanted a blessing.
That's right.
And now we got just 1, 2, 3. And all we can do is watch. Right. Look at the watch. And we go home just like we came. But I want to tell you tonight, Jesus Christ is the same.
Yes. Just the same.
Yesterday, today, and forever.
Right.
I'm not trying to be melodramatic, but I can remember a lot of those things that happened to me in my early ministry. I can remember some of those revival meetings we preached. God's just the same. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost so strong tonight. I feel like God's going to bless you. Wait till Brother Gary gets here. Woo, look out. Look out. Say, boy, I remember that one meeting we had Brother Edenfield preached. Boy, we'll never have another like that. I remember that one Joy Hyde preached. Woo, what a revival. Oh, remember that time at L.D. Moore and Ralph Cox preached their homecoming? Ain't never been one like that since. Amen. Let me tell you, God's the same God. He's the same God. Amen. I remember how we had people saved. He's the same God. Invite them. Bring them in. Pray for them. God's still able to heal, save, sanctify, bless. I wouldn't be a bit shocked to come in here Friday night and see folks standing up and saying, thank God for saving me Tuesday night. Thank God for getting the Holy Ghost Wednesday night. Thank God that He brought me back. Oh, glory to God. Amen. It happened to us Friday night. There's a couple stood up and said, thank God He brought us back. And when they wouldn't even speak to each other, they was doing this Friday night.
Yeah.
Amen. Woo, hallelujah. I tell you what, for a little bit, I'd just shout tonight. Praise God, hallelujah. Wouldn't that be good if God done that? Wouldn't that be something? Amen. If the Lord just put things back together, He can. Glory to God. Oh, have mercy. He can do it. He can do it. I said He can do it. Do you believe it? Now, if you're sitting there saying, okay, all right, hurry up, brother. Come on now. I guess He could if He wanted to. No, He can. And for those of us that believe it, He will. How many will raise your hands with me as we get ready to close? Sister Collins, come. If you would, somebody come. How many will agree with me and say, I'm going to believe God and we're going to see miracles take place this week? I'm not just doing this as an end of a sermon. I really feel this. Whew. Give me about 2 minutes. You can go ahead and play. Give me a minute. I wonder tonight. I feel like doing this, Brother Collins. If some of you in here, you've got, like this sister here, she's got a backslidden husband, come right up here and stand. Amen. Come right on up here. How many's got lost husbands or wives? Won't you come stand right by this sister? Stand right here and just give me a minute or two. You got a lost husband or wife? Or even children? Come right on up here and stand. Oh, I feel like God's going to claim some of them back in your meeting. Glory to God. Thank God. Amen. I'm liking this. Glory, okay. I wonder how many of you, it don't have to be you. Maybe, I feel like saying this tonight, maybe there's some of you, maybe somebody in your family, maybe there's a broken home. You'd like to see God put it back together. Now, I ain't trying to embarrass nobody, but I'd like for you to come and stand right over here. Come on. Come on. Maybe you got somebody in your family. I feel like, well, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I feel like God will give us a miracle. Woo! Holy! Amen. Hey, I want to have a little separation. Those of you praying for lost people, come down, kind of double up this way a little bit if you would. Amen. Yeah, so I can hand me this a little bit of a gap. Come, kind of double up right there. Amen. Anybody else? Maybe somebody you know in your family, they got a broken home. God puts homes back together better than marriage counselors does. Right here. Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost. I know I'm taking a little time, but I feel like doing this tonight. Amen. Praise God. All right. Some of y'all file in and make it double so I can have some more room right here with these. All right. Some of y'all, if you're sick in your body and you want to see, you need to be healed, come right on up. We're going to pray in just a minute. Come right on in this area here. Praise God. Right in here. Praise God. My. What happens if some of these get their husbands and wives get saved? Some of them gets healed. By the end of the week, somebody comes up and say, hey, we're back together. You think we won't have revival?
Yes, sir.
Then they'll be saying, by times, that's like it was 10 years ago around the highway. Why, sure it is. Because Jesus had never changed. If you need the Holy Ghost, step right out and come right in the middle and stand behind these. Amen. Go ahead and give me that song tonight. And the rest of you want to come and help us pray?
I want the power.
And I want you to lift your hands that's up here. Whatever it is you're praying for. Say, Lord, I know you're the same as you was in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and even 20 years ago. You're still able to heal sick bodies. Hallelujah! Glory! He's the same God.
To flow over me.